Let us begin by praying. Lord God, I'm trusting that the words which I've written are your words for us this morning, that something in what is said will touch the deepest part of our being. We need you, Jesus. It's been a busy service, and some of us are tired and losing focus. And I ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enable us to focus just a little bit longer. Come, Holy Spirit, and move among us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I've got great news for you. We actually have a day set apart to relax and do those things that you enjoy doing. It's a day set apart to worship God, to reconnect with each other and with God's creation. The Bible, Jews and others today, set apart that, call that day the seventh day, Sabbath. And as Christians, we have chosen to celebrate the first day of the week, to set that apart, or Sunday, as a celebration of Jesus' resurrection. And while we worship on Sunday, that is our day of rest, I've chosen to refer to this day of rest as Sabbath. And I hope by doing that, by not calling it Sunday, that it will help us to refresh our thoughts, to be open to new thoughts, to be open to what God is saying, and reclaiming Sabbath. Now, I'm preaching about Sabbath, about rest and stopping work, because of a conversation I had 2 years ago with someone who, you know, was very involved in the church and was tired and weary and said, how do I rest when I'm so busy on Sunday? And I was noticing that there were others who were talking about needing to rest, who were tired. And I was going to preach about it last summer, but that didn't work out. So I'm going to do it today by looking at several passages in Genesis, Exodus, and Mark, because I want to see what the Bible has to say about Sabbath keeping. So we're going to begin our journey looking at Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then we're going to skip down to verse 31 and read through chapter 2, verse 3. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Then the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So what's God doing in this passage? He rested. He rested from his work of creating. I don't think he rested because he was weary or tired. It says, there's verses like in Isaiah that say God never grows weary. I believe God rested because he was done the creating work that he wanted to do at that time. By blessing and making the seventh day holy, God established a rhythm of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. And when I look at verse 27, where we are made in his image, I wonder, does that rhythm live within us as well? Was God's intention for us to live out the rhythm of 6 days work and 1 day rest? Do we reflect God's character of rest, relationship, creating and caring when we observe Sabbath? I'm just going to leave those questions with you. So let us continue looking at scripture by looking at Exodus 20. Familiar passage to many of us, it's the Ten Commandments. And we're going to look at the fourth commandment, which begins in verse 8. So this is the Ten Commandments is what God talking to the Israelites and setting out for them how they are to worship him and how they are to live with each other. And this commandment comes kind of in the middle of that. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So Exodus 20 goes back to Genesis and says the reason that God is commanding the Israelites to rest and to not work is because of what he did on the seventh day. He rested from his work. So Exodus and Leviticus and somewhat in Deuteronomy, there's more laws, more commandments that talk about different things related to work. But the question that needs to be asked is, what does it mean to not work or cease from working on the Sabbath? Well, the rabbis, which were the Jewish leaders, beginning in the Old Testament era and leading up to Jesus' days, asked the same question. The rabbis set out to define exactly what the word work meant. And based on that, what could and could not be done on the Sabbath. Well, they got very, very picky. And as a result, they created a large system of rules covering every aspect of life. What you could carry, where you could put a chair, how far you could walk, and on and on. And these rules became an oppressive burden to the Jews, even in Jesus' day. So here's two examples. One is reaping, which is removing all or part of a plant from its source of growth. So we could also call it harvesting. And that was forbidden by God. In Exodus, God tells them not to reap on the Sabbath. However, the rabbis went further than that. And they said, well, you shouldn't climb a tree because you might tear off a branch, and that's separating it. You shouldn't ride an animal because you might unthinkingly detach a stick with which to hit the animal. You missed a slide there, Tom, sorry. There you go. So the next one, cooking. The next slide. Ah, there we go. So cooking was defined as any method of heating food to prepare for eating. So they weren't supposed to do this. But cooking is different from preparing. So a salad can be made because the form of vegetables doesn't change, just the size. However, the vegetables could not be cooked because then the form changes. They become soft or you know, whatever. So that's how focused, how narrow down these rules became for how you were to observe the Sabbath, how you were to avoid working on the Sabbath. And by the time Jesus was on earth, the rules had become largely external and formal. They just did them because that's what you did. And they were more concerned about observing every little rule than on the needs of the people. Now I know that there are some of you who have grown up in Christian homes, especially some of our seniors, who can tell stories about all the things that they could not do on Sunday. You couldn't ride a bike. You couldn't play cards. You couldn't, on and on. For me, growing up, especially when I was younger, Sunday meant after church, coming home, and basically all we could do was sit in the living room and read an approved book. You didn't go outside to play. You didn't do any of that stuff. You certainly didn't do homework. You didn't watch TV. But into this kind of burden and heaviness, Jesus enters. And as always, Jesus brings good news. Good news of life and freedom and celebration. And that is true for us today. So let's look at Mark 2, where Jesus talks about the Sabbath. And we're going to look at it two verses at a time. So in this passage, Jesus takes the fourth commandment and, like many things he does, he turns it upside down and puts it back to what God originally intended it to be. And he ushered in the new kingdom of God at the same time. So verse 23 and 24. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" So if we can look at that, this is the kind of path they would be walking. And the disciples were hungry, so they were just taking some grains off the stalks. And that was permitted. What wasn't permitted in Scripture, in Exodus, was actual harvesting. So then Jesus answers them with an answer that I found extremely puzzling. Like, why are you answering with this? So he said, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God, the sacred holy place, and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." So this goes back to 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6. David is on the run from King Saul. And he and his companions, they've run out of food, and they're hungry. So David went to the temple, and he asked for 5 out of the 12 loaves of bread of the presence. So this is what table of the presence in the holy place. So in a very sacred place in the temple, this is what it could look like. And there were 12 loaves of bread. I saw different pictures of different kinds of bread. But the bottom line is these loaves were considered sacred. They were a symbol that God was present in the temple. Every week, 12 new loaves of bread were baked, and the old loaves, according to God's command, were only meant to be eaten by the priests. And here comes David. He's not a priest, and he's taking 5 of them. He most certainly was breaking the law. So what is the relationship between this story about David and what the disciples had done? So I found the study notes in the NIV Quest Study Bible to explain it well. Jesus' point was that the spirit or purpose of the law is greater than its letter, which means that some laws supersede others. David's physical need was more important than mere ritual observance. The law was meant to benefit the people, not control or condemn them. And I think Jesus was basically implying that the same thing applied to his disciples. Their hunger was more important than the letter of the law. So let's move on to verse 27 and 28, which is really the climax of this passage. Then he, that is Jesus, said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath." So let's read that again. "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And this is where we find the good news about Sabbath for us and why I'm talking about reclaiming the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't meant for observance of rules disconnected from our spirit, rules about what we can or cannot do in response to God's command not to work or to rest. Rather, Jesus said, Sabbath, this day set apart, is meant for the needs of people. That was God's intent all along. Do you see the good news? By restoring Sabbath to what it was intended for, the day becomes a gift given to us by God to worship him, and also for our own well-being, for our own flourishing. God knew what we needed when he created a day of rest, when he created this rhythm of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. He knows how weary and tired we can become, the kind of tiredness that extra sleep just does not cure. This day is meant to be holy a time set apart to focus on our relationship with God and others. It's time to turn ourselves away from the pull of the world and turn to God. It's time to remember God's values, his character, who he created us to be, and what he has done. To enjoy the things that you identified as things that bring you joy, that help you relax and to rest. It is time to remember that God is our creator and we are his creatures. To realize that we are not a superhuman being who doesn't need to stop and rest. How many of us get caught up in that trap? Oh, I can do it, I can do it. The reality is we are finite beings. And Sabbath helps us remember that we need to trust that God will provide for all our needs, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And it's not by our own efforts. Think about this for a minute. It's a time, a day, to remember that God is our creator and we are his creatures. God is in charge, not us. I can rest for one day. I can rest. I can rest in God. Do you feel a sigh of relief coming from deep inside of you at this thought? Do your shoulders relax a little? The reorientation to reliance on God is extremely important. Our culture today is very focused on action and productivity, on getting stuff. We are told that this defines who we are and the purpose of our lives. I mean, I do it. People say, how are you doing? And my answer is, oh, I'm busy. I'm so busy. That's my badge. It's my identification. We feel that we need to be on or connected to technology 24/7. Some of us more than others. We have this feeling that we always need to be available. And the lies behind all of this, I think, is the idea that we are indispensable to our job, our family, and our friends. The lie is that our status, our identity, who we are, is in what we produce. And in response to the lies of our culture, Robert Fawcett said this: in our modern capitalistic society, perhaps one of the most countercultural things Christians can do is actually worship and rest on the Sabbath. Now, I'm not talking about taking another day off and going around and catching up on your errands or the work around the house. I'm talking about ceasing work. The biblical meaning of rest is not inactivity. It's not just sitting there. Although naps are a perfectly welcome way to observe Sabbath. Rather, biblical rest is an active rest. It is participating in God's creation with each other. It might be hiking or walking, going for a bike ride, doing a craft, reading a book, having some ice cream, being together as family and friends around a meal, actively spending time with God and with each other. Sabbath is meant to be a celebration. We celebrate on Sunday. We've chosen Sunday because We're celebrating moving from death to life because of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the new kingdom that he ushered in, and our being part of bringing this new kingdom of God to its completion. We celebrate God's gracious gifts to us. It is not about a do not do list. Sabbath is a gift. It's not a right that we've earned because we've worked so hard the last 6 days. It's part of God's unmerited favor towards us. Just as we have done nothing to deserve salvation, so we've done nothing to earn Sabbath. Sabbath is truly meant for our own well-being. There is so much scientific research about the benefits of a day off. I didn't include it. You can just Google it because there's just reams of it. It was hard to know what to include. But basically, scientists, neuroscientists, sociologists are learning that by taking a day off and not running around doing errands or fixing the house, unless you happen to enjoy fixing the house or working in the garden or something like that. But taking that day off benefits us physically, emotionally, and socially. The ironic thing is by taking a day off, we actually produce more. It's counterintuitive. When we worship God and truly rest, this day off becomes so much more, and it becomes a Sabbath. So there's two questions I want to address before we close. Does Sabbath observance have to include a church service? Do we have to come together? When we can get great services or preaching online, what is the value of being here? Why should I get up early and come to church? And I think this is where we find our spiritual rest, or part of our spiritual rest. And it requires spending time in God's Word as a community and individually. God's Word is meant to be read and studied in community. We meet together not only to read and hear the Word of God being preached, but to encourage each other through our prayers, like Marcos was saying, our offerings and our time of fellowship. We remember our identity as God's people when we come together to worship, and we celebrate our oneness in His grace. Then, having been reminded of who we are in Christ, we are equipped, we are renewed, we're filled to again enter into the world, into a world that is becoming more and more against God. And we go back into this world to serve the world. But you can't serve people if you're on empty. So we gather together. The question that started all of this really was, what if my Sunday mornings are really busy with doing ministry? Like being on the worship team, teaching children's church, or being in the nursery, or being up here preaching. What if I have to work on Sunday? Mary Holst, in her banner article, Day Off or Sabbath, has this advice. If Sunday a.m. doesn't feel like Sabbath, could Sunday afternoon or evening? Turn off the phone. Get off the computer. Spend time with Jesus, listening to him and speaking to him with him. If you're required to work on Sunday, and there are some of us who are for a whole variety of reasons, I encourage you to take another day off as your Sabbath. Use these church services that are online, these sermons that are online. Find ways to reconnect with others. What is key, though, is the rhythm of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. So as much as possible, the best thing you can do is take the same day off every week, whether it's Tuesday or Thursday or Friday. If it's the same day every week, it's that rhythm that becomes important. And I realize with the way work schedules are put together that that isn't always possible. And then there's also the question of a technological Sabbath, you know, turning off the phone, not getting on the computer, all those things of technology. And I'm not going to talk about that because of time, but in your handout, I've included a bit of information. On the seventh day, we unplug, how and why to take a tech Sabbath. So you might have noticed that I haven't told you how to observe the Sabbath. I haven't told you what it means to not work. I've only been talking a little bit about the biblical meaning and reasons for doing so. And I've done this on purpose. I don't want to tell you what to do, because I don't want our Sabbath keeping to become a list of do's and don'ts or trying to copy what someone else does, because that takes away the gift and the celebration that God intended. How one observes Sabbath is a personal and family decision. So what I've done instead is put this bulletin insert together called Reclaiming Sabbath. And on it are some parts of books that I have on Sabbath that have questions for reflection, questions that you can ask yourself or talk about together as a family. And then also some practical steps about how you create your own Sabbath routine. And if you want more information from these books or other resources, feel free to come and talk to me. God ordained 1 day of rest out of every 7 days so that we could first worship him, but also for our own well-being. A day to cease working. A day of celebration. A day to slow down and be present with each other. A day to play, to dance, to read. Will you accept God's invitation to rest? Will you accept his gift of Sabbath? Let's pray. Lord of the Sabbath, it's hard for us to stop working, and harder still to stop worshiping work. We confess that our busyness often substitutes for our holiness. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to be still enough to know you. Help us to receive your gift of Sabbath, to worship you, to celebrate. Help us to create spiritual practices for Sabbath keeping that turn us away from the world and towards you, so that we may be rested, so that we become equipped to serve others out of the abundance you have given us. In this quiet, peaceful time, we honor you. We rest in you. We long to know you as maker and mender. Through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen.